Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Samuel, chapter 3, verse 18. It reads, "Then the Lord told him everything." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So, by way of introduction, the role of a prophet has been vitally important pertaining to the Word of God. You know, prophets served as messengers to speak on behalf of God about His will, you know, His words, His warnings, and mainly in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah, His Son Jesus. For Christians today, like the prophets of old, you know, we ought to be the mouthpieces on behalf of God, speaking the same things, to share the gospel message, the good news that God offers sinful people eternal life through faith in His Son, Jesus. So I ask you, how willing and receptive are you personally to what God wants to share through you? Case in point, let's examine Samuel's first prophecy. Three points of application arise out of our sermon text. First, how receptive are you to the Word of God? Second, like Samuel, hold nothing back pertaining to the message. And third, the Lord does what seems good to Him. First, how receptive are you to the Word of God? In verse 1 reads, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." So for about a period of 2 or 3 centuries, while Israel was under the rule of judges, the revelation of God was basically inactive. Whereas before the period of judges, God had spoken to His people through the likes of Moses and Joshua. But after they had passed, God had not appointed a prophet up until Samuel. So I want to provide you a little background into Samuel. Samuel's mother, Hannah, she couldn't have children. So she pleaded with God through prayer for a son. And if she had a son, she vowed to give the boy back to God in full-time service, for whatever that may be. So Samuel spent his younger years being raised by an Israelite high priest named Eli. He was also a judge. Now at the time, Samuel was about 11 or 12 years old. The Lord called him. See, up until this point, Samuel had no previous experience with the Lord in a divine way. Verses 2 through 4 read, "And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.'" The next couple of verses read in this book about how Samuel thought it was Eli calling him. But it wasn't. It was the Lord. The Lord called Samuel not once, not twice, but 3 times. And he kept going back to Eli for confirmation. "Are you calling me?" Eli, knowing that it had been the Lord, convinced Samuel to respond to the Lord in a certain way. Verse 10 reads, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" See, once Samuel became clear that it was the Lord who called his name, Samuel demonstrated a willingness to listen and to do what the Lord said. He was receptive to the Lord. The word receptive comes from a Latin word that means receive. Being receptive is a state of open-mindedness, willing, responsive, and attuned to what is being presented. And the opposite of receptive is resistant or unresponsive. So Samuel demonstrated a willingness to serve. He had a similar response to the Lord like other biblical figures such as Isaiah, who told the Lord, "Here am I, send me." Being receptive involves being active on your part. See, God speaks to us clearly through His Word. And to receive what God's will is for your life, you need to take the time and energy to read it and apply it to yourself. You know, the opportunity is there for anyone. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Proverbs 10:8 reads, "The wise in heart receive commandments, receive commands, but a prating fool will fall." Now think about it. As a child, how did you know that you loved your parents? You showed them an obedience to them. You did what you were told, at least up until you were a teenager, right? But the bottom line is that you didn't want to anger or dishonor them. Being receptive to God, it's the same kind of principle. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now James encourages us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Now having a relationship with God is a two-way street. And yes, God initiated and He stands in front of you with His hands out. Like in our reading, God has called out your name. If you received Him, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But back to our application, how receptive are you to the Word of God? Examine yourselves. Unlike Samuel, you are not a prophet, but you are still a messenger of God. The second point of application is, like Samuel, hold nothing back. I want to begin reading in verses 11 through 18. "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.' So Samuel lay down until morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' He answered, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you.' Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.'" So this was Samuel's first test. You know, how was he going to respond to God's commandment about the impending judgment against Eli and his family? After all, Eli was like family to Samuel, as I stated earlier. You know, the key point is that even though Samuel may have been afraid to tell Eli, he did. He did. This point of application is a lesson for each of us. You know, sadly, many of us have family members that are not saved. Are you afraid to speak truth or be the black sheep of the family? Remember, Christian, you are now a child of God. You are part of the royal family, and there are plenty of seats at the table for the rest of your family as well. Be bold. Word of encouragement from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, God used Samuel like he would with future prophets to provide a message about the impending doom that would happen if one didn't repent of their sinful ways, if one didn't turn to the Lord. So friends, examine yourselves before God. First, have you even shared the gospel with your family? Now, Christian, God placed a new heart in you. You shouldn't want to see any soul perish in hell. Any soul. And it sure starts with your own family. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, when Jesus healed the demon-possessed man, he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." Go home. Tell your friends. Second, if you do share the gospel, is it the watered-down version? Remember, like Samuel, hold nothing back. You know, talking about God's love is great. It's a great start. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's a great start. That's the heart of the gospel. But pointing someone to only one side of God, particularly the loving side, will not always stop one from living for themselves. Think about it. Do prosperity teachers, do they preach about repentance? No, because they want you living for yourself. They don't want to show you the error of your ways before God, your depravity before God. We need to be equal in preaching, not only about God's blessings, but his judgment upon souls as well. People need to know their depravity before God. You need to point them to the sign of hope, but also to the warning sign. Jude 21 through 23 reads, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some, have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." So friends, be honest when speaking the truth. There are only two paths to present as you offer the invitation to receive Jesus. They're found in John 3:36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Third and final point, the Lord does what seems good to him. You know, Deuteronomy 32:4 reads, "He is a rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. Righteous and upright is he." So again, Samuel delivered the bad news to Eli concerning his household. And Eli, knowing how just God is, concluded, "The Lord does what seems good to him." know, so many in the world today claim that God is unfair, but he is nothing but fair and just. Now, would a judge be a good judge if he let a criminal not pay for his crime, such as intentional murder? No, he wouldn't be. And the Lord acts in a just way as well. He not only blessed Eli and his sons with the things of God, but also entrusted them to do their priestly duties, which are honoring to God. And Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, you know, dishonored God by violating the law, committing sacrilege. You know, they were keeping and eating the meat for themselves, even though it wasn't for them. Furthermore, they were having improper relationships with women who served at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Their sin was great before the Lord. And Eli was made aware of this and simply didn't take the appropriate actions against them. He truly didn't rebuke them, favoring his sons more than God. In 2:27 reads that a man of God, which is an unidentified prophet, came to Eli speaking on behalf of God. And in verse 2, chapter 2, verses 29 through 30, it reads, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offerings, which I've commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." See, one of the main things that stands out in this point of application is, for the Christian, like Eli and his sons, we are all to be set apart from the world. You know, God's will, first, is that we all be saved from the wrath to come. But second is to do his will, to do God's will, his desires. You know, what happens when you turn away from light? You get nothing but darkness. What happens when you know you ought to do something that he tells you, you don't do it? Like James says, it's considered sin to you. See, Eli's sons continue to follow in their own will, and the father just stood by and let them. Christian, God will never take back what he has already given you through his promises, your salvation. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. However, the discipline of God can take shape in many ways. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Remember, God is totally committed to saving the lost. You know, that is evident by the work of his son, Jesus. Yet much of the church demonstrates a lack of concern to extend God's truth past the four walls of the church. Let us not come up with excuses not to do God's will, like Moses when speaking to Pharaoh, or like the reluctant missionary Jonah, trying to run from the will of God. In conclusion, Christian, God has impressed his will upon you. And yes, even Samuel was reluctant at first, but he spoke truth, no matter what the truth meant, blessings or doom. We have the complete canon of God, God's word at our hand. And we have the Holy Spirit within us to aid us in our walks. So I urge you, be a vessel of mercy unto others. Share the message of hope. John 3:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Let's pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us light and direction to our lives according to your will. We ask that you continue to help us become more receptive to your will and not to our own. Help us to become profitable servants that bring glory to you. We thank you for your continuing to help us understand that it's our duty to spread your truth outside those four walls, to be messengers of hope, not only of hope, but of warning as well. We thank you, Father, for continuing to open up our eyes, and we pray that you continue to help us and aid us in opening up the eyes of others, that all the glory that we bring goes to you and your Son only. We thank you, Father, for involving us into your will, into your plan of redemption. We thank you so much for your graciousness and your mercy you have on our wretched souls. And again, we thank you for the hope that you have given us. And I pray that you continue to strengthen us to share that hope into this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.